Amen. Amen. So the elections are over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Some people cried. Some people cheered. A lot of emotions out there. But what didn't change is that God's still on the throne. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. He's on the throne. He's on the throne. And I believe with all my heart that no matter who's president of the United States, God is about to move in a way that is very real. I believe that. I hope those of you praying at home and seeking God, you're starting to sense that God's preparing you. And sometimes that gets a little uncomfortable because we want to do our own thing, right? But when God starts just moving you to do things for Him, He's got a kingdom purpose for all of this. He's got a kingdom purpose. And we are all laborers that God is going to use to bring people to Jesus. We are the laborers that He's going to use. People who were headed in the wrong direction, will all of a sudden, they'll start finding hope that is in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? He's the God of the hope. He's hope. He is our hope. And we are the laborers that God will use to point people to Jesus. The harvest is coming. I really believe that. And now, you may say, Pastor, what specifically do you mean? I'm not exactly sure because only God really knows. But our job, so to speak, as Christians, is to be prepared. To be prepared for, be real. Make sure that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our life. And not be going through motions and pretending that everything's just awesome with our relationship with God and we're not praying and reading our Bibles. You see, God is preparing us. He's continuing to remind us. And every one of us are different parts on that journey, or some of you are, every day you just can't go without reading your Bible. Some of you, it's like, oh gosh, that's a struggle. It's okay. But never make excuses. God wants a daily walk with you. Amen? Amen? And you're like, oh, it's okay to have these stresses about it's so hard. But here's the truth. He's continuing to convict us, to perfect us, to get us on that path so we're ready for the harvest. We're ready for what God has planned for us. So get ready to be perfected. You can't speed up what God is doing, and you can't slow it down. Because what God is doing, He's doing. When we say He's getting us ready for a harvest, we can't speed up the harvest time. We can't slow it down. You plant the seed, you can't pick it the next day. Right? There's a timing. And it's God's timing. When God says it's time, it's time. And it's not over until God says it's over. Amen. And anything to do in our lives, it's not over till God says it's over. And it won't start until God says it's time to start. I'm believing that God in the next few weeks and months, God will begin to get the attention of people who haven't even been listening. They've just been doing their own thing. But when the harvest comes and when God begins to move, people who weren't paying attention are all of a sudden going to pay attention. And maybe the election, by some way that we don't even understand, has something to do to move that in motion. Amen. Where all of a sudden, I saw some of the protesters and they were out there, and some of the things I did hear, there was a lot of bad words said, but anyway, some of those things I did hear that got my attention was, well, they couldn't stand that this president got elected, but well, we're just going to have to trust God. I was like, wow. Okay, good. I think maybe there's something there. You see, we don't know God's big picture plans, but we do know, and I believe in the Spirit that you can sense this, that He's on the move. To move. And it's not because you're worthy or I'm worthy or because it's time that something we did. It's because God's perfect timing is in motion. And we as God's people just need to be ready to move in that. In that harvest. I said this to the prayer group on Tuesday night a while back. And it is so true. When God begins to move and you begin to see healings and miracles and signs and wonders. And God just starts to move. You know, we have a tendency to say, yeah, well, God's using us because we must be pretty sharp. You know, and I always think of my Sunday school teacher, Sister Smith, who labored and believed and was just a rock in her belief. No matter what happened in her life, she just continued to come to Sunday school and show us God. And she was at joy and peace. And I didn't even know at the time that she was going through some horrible stuff at home and just the whole thing going on in her life. But I couldn't tell because all I could see was Jesus in her. And I thought about this one day. When God starts moving, it's not that we are better than any generation before us. They love God and sacrifice just as much as anybody else. It's just God's timing. And so that keeps things in perspective. When God begins to use us, it's just His time. It's His time. It's who He is. And we just got to be ready because for such a time as this, as Esther said, right? For such a time as this. And you can tell in the spirit that God's moving some chess pieces, and it's time to be ready. And that's what this whole series, the last few months, has been about. Families, churches, be ready. Make sure Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Make sure He's the foundation of your life. And the church needs to operate not by edifying self, but by edifying God. And all these things are coming together. And here we are, harvest. Last week, I talked about the harvest, part one. And the kingdom, if you were listening, you can finish my sentence here. The kingdom of God is for whosoever. Oh, Kathleen got it. So very good. She gets points. For whosoever, and we all stood up last week, and we said, you are whosoever. Amen. Amen? Awesome. So, God's timing, you can't speed it up, you can't slow it down. I believe God's on the move. He's on the move. Amen. For people are going to start paying attention that weren't paying attention, but all of a sudden their hearts are going to begin to hunger and thirst for truth. And the truth is, Jesus Christ is their only hope they have. Amen. Some of you may already be feeling God pursuing you in a way that is different than before, or you've gotten close to Him and drawn away, and it's just like a seesaw. And, you know, don't worry, that's normal, because the enemy doesn't like it when people begin to get close to God. So the opposite things, you'll start feeling, oh, I just don't feel it like I used to with God, or these kind of thoughts, and that's all normal. It's like, you know, it's like a child growing up. They just, one way they think one way, the next day, you know, you ever tell the 5-year-old, what do you want to be? A fireman. But then when they get older, they don't want to be a fireman. It's part of who, you know, just growing in the Lord. And just don't ever doubt that when God changed you, you've been changed. Because the Bible says that we become new in Christ Jesus. Just don't doubt that. Just keep going. Keep trusting God. John chapter 11, verse 17. We want to read a story today that illustrates, you know, that we have to trust God's timing. And that's the title of this message. The Harvest Part 2. We have to trust God's timing. In John 11, chapter 17, verse 45. I'm just going to read that through. Read it with me here and follow with me. Then, the setting up the story, Jesus' friend Lazarus is sick and passed away, and he went to go see him, and this is where we take the story. And before he went, his disciples told him, don't go, Jesus, because they're going to stone you. They're already trying to kill you. And if you go over there in public, they're going to stone you. Don't go. And Jesus says, you know, I got to go. Then when Jesus came, he found, and he got there to the place where Lazarus was. Jesus came, and he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, Lazarus. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and she met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection in the last days, in that judgment day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, there's that word again, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. As soon as he heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And said, they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. Then said Jews, behold how much he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused this, even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, but this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about the napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen him these things, and they saw these things which Jesus did, and they believed on him. In verse 25, the powerful, powerful verse, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall not, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It is God's character to bring life out of what seems dead. And each and every one of you are examples of that. Sure, you may not be perfect and you're struggling and battling, but we're alive because we told him to forgive us of our sins, to come into our hearts, and he set us free from the bondage of sin and from the death. He set us free from death and brought us to life. And there he is saying it. He is the resurrection. In verse 21, this is just an amazing story with so many lessons. In verse 21, I want to focus on this fact that Mary and Martha both said the same thing. In verse 21, Martha said, Jesus, if thou hadst been here before, my brother would not have died. And Mary says the same thing. Mary thought Lazarus' life dependent on Jesus arriving on her time schedule. You know, we think that too. We think that, oh, if God hasn't done this, I guess it's too late now. It's never too late. Amen. Here's the story of Jesus and his character to bring life out of death. And whatever situation you're praying for, you could be praying for a loved one for salvation, or you could be praying for God to move here with health or with finances, whatever it may be. And you may be thinking, it's too late. I'm just going to have to settle for survival here. That is not who God is. God, like the prodigal son, when he returned, he gave him the best. He gave him the best. A big party. He gave him the best. And God is giving us his best. It's not over until God says it's over. And it's not on our time schedule that if only he had done it before, everything would be all right. Trust God's timing in all things in your life. Trust him. Trust him. And this story illustrates that he's not operating on our schedule. Have you figured it out? He's just not operating on our time schedule. God is a good God. And he's perfecting us. And he's operating on his timetable. Amen. On his kingdom timetable. Just trust it. Trust it. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Trust it. It's his timetable. Trust it. Believe it. Be at peace, even in the storm. Isaiah 55:8. I didn't just say that he's operating on his own timetable. In Scripture, the Word of God says in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." This is what God said in the Old Testament, and it's true today. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Trust him. Trust him. In verse 40, back to the story that we were at in John chapter 11. In verse 40, make sure I have that here. Verse 40. It's John chapter 11, not Matthew. Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Faith is essential to seeing the glory of God. Amen? Amen? Faith is essential to seeing the glory of God. You got to believe. All things are possible. Sure, they're not going to work the way you want them to work out. Sometimes they do, but I've learned in walking with the Lord that that's rare. God has his timetable. But one thing I am learning is that every time he directs us and moves us from thing to thing in our life, it's good. And it's blessed. He loves us. He wants the best for us. Believe. Faith is so essential. Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. Keep believing. Believe even when the evidence is not there. And God will move in his perfect timing. The timing is God's. Amen. It is. Let's all repeat that together, because some of us wanted our timing. But no, we got to repeat this because we got to get it down into our hearts. I'm going to count to three all together. We'll say the timing is God's. One, two, three. The timing is God's. The faith to believe all is possible is yours. The timing is God's, but the faith to believe, that's all yours. You and me. We own that. The timing is God's. The faith, believing, it's all you. You know, Jesus has scripture that says, if you just believe like the size of a mustard seed, which is really, really small, I can move mountains. Believe. Faith is all you. And the timing is all God's. In verse 44, and when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. After Jesus did his miracle, Lazarus was loosed. He was set free from death. And once again, he lived. The timing from Martha and Mary's perspective was too late. But from God's perspective, it was perfect. It was perfect. Trust God. Trust God. You turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Trust God. Just trust God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Trusting God during trials and hard times in life is an act of humility. And I came to this conclusion, just that statement in my own heart, that trusting God, no matter what, is humility. Because pride is the opposite of humility, and pride wants things done its own way. Amen? We want it done our own way. That's pride. But when we say, Lord, I would like it this way, but nevertheless, Jesus said this himself, not my will, but your will be done. That's surrendering. That's surrendering pride. That's humility. So trusting God no matter what is just humility. And pride will do the opposite. Pride will say, Lord, I want it my way. And if you don't do it my way, I'm going to throw a tantrum. Does that sound familiar? If the election doesn't go my way, I'm going to throw a tantrum. I noticed that all the people protesting like are 21 years old. I don't know what's that all about, but I think there's a whole other lesson to be learned about that. But it's okay to protest peacefully, by the way. That's okay. So we can't throw a tantrum when things don't go our way in God's kingdom. That's pride. Amen? Here it says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So because we are crucified with Christ, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we live, yet we don't live, but Christ lives in us. In other words, it's his life. We've surrendered our life to God's will. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, last scripture. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's all coming together, right? And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This basically means the same thing, that pride tries to keep their carnal life being first. And Jesus is saying, no, when you become my disciple, you lose that. It's dead. Let me warn you about being a Christian. If you fight to surrender your will to God's will, God will make you lie down in green pastures. Amen? One way or the other. Amen? Surrender. It's a whole lot easier. Surrender your will to God's will. It's a whole lot easier. And trust God's timing is a big part of that surrender. Because one of the reasons we don't want to surrender all is because we want things to go our way. Say, Lord, tell the Lord what you want. Plead with Him. But in all things, be at peace and be content. What did Paul say? I learned to be content when I have money, and I learned to be content when I don't have money. In all things, surrender. And what ends up happening is you become at peace and free. If you fight to surrender, He'll make you lie down in green pastures. That's in Proverbs 23. It is also true that surrendering to God's will is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you in this world. I believe that with all of my heart. It's a lie of the enemy that if we surrender, then we lose, we won't have fun and we won't have joy. It's like, oh, God changes all of that. What you thought you needed to have joy, you'll start having joy. When you truly surrender, you will start having the most joy and peace by watching someone come to Christ. And it will replace everything else. It's just who He is. Ultimately, we are all created to worship and to praise our God. That's why we were created. Praise the Lord. Trust God's timing. That's what this message is all about. Trust God's timing. Do not doubt. All things are possible. Lazarus came forth because Jesus said He would. So as you continue to grow and trust and believe that all things are possible, begin to share your unwavering faith with others. Because the harvest will need to see how strong your faith is and how unwavering your faith is. When the harvest sees your strength, when people who are lost begin to see how strong you are, they see you going through struggles, and they see how you are strong in your faith, that no matter what, you know God's going to see you through. When they begin to see that, the harvest will come flooding in to accept Jesus Christ because of your example. And they will be strong in the Lord as well, because when they struggle, they'll see what to do when they struggle because they saw it in you. They stay strong. Trust in God no matter what. Trust in God no matter what. I believe this. One day in heaven, when we all give an account, you will see that your faith, your unwavering faith, believing in God no matter what, trusting Him no matter what, one day, one day in heaven, someone will see, you will see that your faith, your strong faith, helps someone get into heaven. And everyone will see, because you were strong, other people got into heaven. I'm sure that day, when you see that, when it all comes to account, that it will be the proudest moment of your life here on earth. Because the kingdom of God is about whosoever believes in Him will have eternal life. And you'll be a big part of that. And not only that, but everybody's going to see, because of your strong faith, people came to seek to know God. And the angels and everybody is going to applaud. You thought you were nothing. You thought you were little. That's why the Bible says, we're all important part of the body of Christ. Your unwavering faith can minister more than pastors. Your unwavering faith can minister more than the great evangelist, than what the world sees as men and women of God. Your strong faith in your own world makes all the difference in a life. So we're preparing for the harvest. It's not so much about the activity we do to prepare externally. Really, what all this is about is we're preparing internally to be real. And when people begin to seek more of God, you're ready. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for that day when everyone applauds your strong faith. Trust God's timing in His time. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. I'm going to ask you to stand at this time. Michelle will get some music ready. If you have something that you've been waiting on the Lord, or you wished it would already be done, and maybe an unsaved loved one, or maybe finances, or situations, relationships, health, it's not too late. If that's you this morning, if everybody would close their eyes and bow their heads. If that's you this morning and you needed to hear that everything's okay, God's a good God and it's in His timing, and I need to be strong, and the Spirit is checking your heart, and you know that that's you. You need to trust God no matter what. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today, but I want, if that's you, whisper it to yourself and just say, acknowledge that that's you. That you need to trust God's timing in all things. And I'm going to say a prayer, and I want us all to agree together. Because there are people in this place that have questioned God's timing. I've questioned it. But today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that spirit of doubt, we bind it in the name of Jesus. So that is you. Well, let's say it all together as a church. We bind the spirit of doubt. 1, 2, 3. We bind the spirit of doubt. In the name of Jesus.